Hundreds of food and farm business members in a Buy Local guide available at purecatskills.com.
Good evening, everyone. You're listening to 90.5 FM, WJFF Jeffersonville, New York, and 94.5 FM, W233 AH Monticello, New York, and we also stream online at wjffradio.org.
Support for this program comes from our listeners and from Main Street Farm Market and Cafe in Livingston Manor, serving fresh house-made soups and sandwiches prepared with food from our local farmers and artisans.
Please stay tuned for Making Waves, which comes up momentarily.
I sit here alone on the banks of the river. The lonesome wind blows, the water rolls high. I hear a voice calling out there in the darkness. I sit here. Water rose high on the river at midnight. I'll sit on the shore to weep and to cry. The woman I love, she left me this morning with no one to love.
Good evening and welcome to Making Waves. This is Midge Maroney, your host, and you were just listening to a recording by Louis Setzer, and we are lucky enough in the region to know that he will be here performing live in the short time. So we'll talk more about that in a minute. Our engineer tonight is Dan Desmond. Our executive producer is Kevin Greff. And tonight's program on Making Waves will feature an interview with the Honors Society of Liberty High School. Recently had an induction. And then we're going to get more bluegrass information for an event coming up in Hurleyville. Then we have another interview about writing a journal in the winter, sponsored by the Writers in the Mountains. And so we're also going to share some excerpts from the holiday show. And then we were going to try to sneak in a sneak preview of Radio Revolution's annual extravaganza, Noisy Christmas Eve of Crazy Caroling, which will air here on WJFF 9 o'clock Christmas night. So the music that you just heard was performed by Louis Setzer, and I have with me now Carol Smith, who is with a bluegrass group called
Little Sparrow, and we're actually an Americana / bluegrass group. We love bluegrass, but we really cover a lot of different genres in improvisational music.
So why don't you tell us now a little bit about the distinction between Americana and bluegrass?
If you ask me, I'll just make something up.
That's fine. Well, I mean, for example, are there different instrumentation? Do you use more Western style from time to time? Do you use mandolin?
What? Americana really, to me, refers to the acoustic music that is kind of merging out of all the different genres, which would be, it's coming out of folk and bluegrass and jazz and rock. And much of it is acoustic, although it can also be electric, and it really is, it's what America does with music, which is it takes the foundation of folk and bluegrass and country and rock and gradually sort of changes it and transitions it into something fresh and new and alive.
So it's an amalgamation of a lot of other American pieces of music.
Yes.
Okay. Sounds great. So we had the great pleasure of having your group perform a couple of days ago at the WJFF Christmas party. So tell us a little bit. How did you feel about performing there? And then we'll go back to the upcoming event you have going on.
Oh, we had a blast. I mean, anytime you get that many musicians in a room and friends, it was really just an extraordinary experience. And, I just can't tell you how much, as a musician, you feel happy to perform in front of music lovers. And that's really what you have, is a room full of people that just love music.
Well, the WJFF audience is definitely a lot of music lovers and an eclectic kind of audience. So, yes, you're smiling as we speak. So I think the audience was very receptive to all of the pieces. We love them. Let's go ahead and talk now about an upcoming event here at the Sullivan County Museum. So why don't you talk to us a little bit about that, Carol?
All right. Well, a lot of you know about the Woodsongs Coffee House. It's an acoustic music series that happens in the winter that Little Sparrow started almost 5 years ago. And we really started it as a way for our band to get to perform in front of a listening audience. We'd been kind of, put in tents and festivals and restaurants for a while. And I, in particular, I have a very unusual and quiet voice, and I wanted to perform in a quiet environment. And so that's one of the reasons we started this event. And winter is a time there's not a lot of competition, so it worked. And we get crowds of 60 to 100 people on a January night, so we've kind of built a little community for the winter where people could come out and see friends and have fun, and it's $6 to get in, and Louis Setzer and the Appalachian Mountain Boys, they're a touring band, a national touring band that you would normally pay $25 to see, but because we're musicians, we're friends with their bass player, we wrangled them, and then we got a very generous grant from the Sullivan County legislators through the Delaware Valley Arts Alliance in order to produce this event.
Oh, wonderful. Yes, I was looking at some of the notes about Louis Setzer, and he's being compared to Bill Monroe, Flatten Scruggs, Jimmy Martin.
Right.
And we just heard him. He sounds terrific.
Yeah, he's got one of those voices that I think he was just born a little too late to be as famous as the others. He's in his 60s, and he's been touring for 40 years, but he's got the thing, that quality of tone that just goes inside, and he's one of my favorite all-time singers.
Yeah, I think he probably would be about 20 years, 25 years younger than Bill Monroe and Flatten Scruggs. So, being born at the right or wrong time, you just go with the flow, I suppose.
Right.
Okay, so the event will be on January 4th. That's 2014. Here we are, coming around the corner. 6 to 9 p.m., and the Sullivan County Museum is located at 265 Main Street, Hurleyville, New York. So we have a couple more minutes. You want to tell us a little bit about your group, Little Sparrow?
Sure, I'd be happy to.
Tell us about who the members are and what you play. You're the lead singer. And
I share the lead singing with my partner, Aldo Troiani, who hosts Jambalaya here with Jesse.
Oh, right.
And between the two of us, we pick most of the songs, and I sing more of them than he does. Aldo plays mandolin, guitar, and banjo. And Kurt Knuth, who's a board member here and a volunteer at the station, is our guitarist, and he also sings. And Lynn Reno from Jeffersonville plays the fiddle, and she's a great singer, a harmony singer. And then we have a couple of bass players. Lester Wilson is our main bass player, and he used to tour with Tanya Tucker and Glenn Campbell. So he's a fairly accomplished guy, and when we all get together, it really works. It's a neat thing. We're not slick and we're not polished, but we've all got a lot of heart, and we get along miraculously.
Well, you sounded very polished the other night.
Thank you. We keep practicing.
How often do you practice? How often do you rehearse? Do you do more when you're getting a gig together, or do you try to get together regularly?
Well, we really are a big fan of live rehearsals. Mm. And one of the ways we do songs is I'll email it to the band, and they all learn it by how I sung it in the email, and we don't practice.
Oh, so you have musical emails.
Yes, but they pick it up quick.
That's good.
And you can hear us right before Louis Setzer. We host the Woodsongs Coffee House. And so we play for a 45-minute set, and then Louis comes on. And that's our role. We're the host band.
You're the host band, or otherwise the opening act.
Yes.
Terrific.
Thank you.
Do you do only standard tunes, or are you writing any original pieces?
I've been writing songs for some time now, and we're just beginning to produce them. I've been very shy about it and reticent. I love other people's songs, but that day is coming.
Okay, good. Can you tell us any favorite numbers that our listeners might be familiar with that you do, or mention one or two that you did the other night at the holiday party?
Oh, boy. Nope.
Okay. Blank. So were there just four members of you at the holiday party?
We had just four. Our bass player couldn't make it that night. And we expand into as much as a six-piece. We sometimes play with Thurman Barker, the jazz drummer. We have a guitarist who's around a recording artist. Van Manakis comes up and plays with us. And the band sort of ebbs and flows depending on the space and how much anybody's willing to pay us.
But you must have core members that...
Right. The four of us you saw are the core, and then Lester, our bass player.
I see. Where do you rehearse? I mean...
Well, we have been rehearsing at our house. We live in Youngsville.
I see.
Aldo and I. And Lynn is from Jeffersonville. Kurt's right across the mountain in Livingston Manor.
Up the hill.
It's the big mountain. So it's pretty cool. We're all within about a 5-mile range of each other. And
in a foggy, foggy night, it can take more than 5 miles to get there.
We don't always cross that mountain.
Right. Well, it's been wonderful having you with us here, Carol. And so do you want to share again a little bit about Louis, or again the meeting time?
Sure. It starts at 6 o'clock, and it's an early time, so you have to eat dinner early. We have coffee and baked goods. The music starts at 6:30 with Little Sparrow. Louis will come on around 7:30. He'll play to the end, and we all come out together, grand old Opry style, and we do a big finale. It's fun. It's really fun.
That's great. And it's on January 4th at the Sullivan County Museum, 265 Main Street in Hurleyville. And Carol, thank you so much for joining us. Good luck to you and Little Sparrow. Yeah. And we're really looking forward to hearing Louis Setzer.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. It's been fun. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Just a boy, he left his home. Well, he thought he'd have the world on strings. Now the years have come and gone, he don't have a place called home. Looking back to a better day, feeling old and in the way.
Old and in the way, that's what I heard him say. They used to heed the words he said, but that was yesterday. Old will turn to gray and youth will fade away. They'll never care about you, call you old and in the way. Like the old dog gone astray, he's just old and in the way.
Old and in the way, that's what I heard him say. They used to heed the words he said, but that was yesterday. Old will turn to gray and youth will fade away. They'll never care about you, call you old and in the way.
And that was Doug Rogers and his group, who also performed at the WJFF party on Saturday. So we have some excerpts, and we will try to sprinkle them in on Making Waves as we go along in the evening. And so next we have Kathy Lambert, who is an art teacher at Liberty High School. And recently, the Liberty High School young artists, the students, were inducted into the National Honor Society for Art, or National Art Society. So we have Kathy Lambert to tell you a little bit about that induction and the students.
And Lord, me, I pray, bless over dear.
Good evening, and I want to welcome here to Making Waves Kathy Lambert, who is the art department chair at Liberty High School. And
Hi.
And quite recently they had a wonderful event to honor their students for the National Art Honor Society. So congratulations, Kathy, to you and the students. So tell us a little bit about this program.
Well, thanks. The program is a nationally acclaimed program. It's the National Art Educators Association's way of acknowledging students who have really done well in the arts and academically.
Oh, so there's an academic component as well as the creative artistic part.
Absolutely.
Okay. So, and was there a criteria? Were you the one responsible for selecting the students and their artwork? How did the ones who were honored, besides their academic average, how were they selected?
The students were offered the opportunity to join if their grades were high enough in art classes and their overall GPAs were high enough to make them eligible for the program. At Liberty, you have to have a 90 or above in your advanced art class, and in addition to that, an 80 or above GPA, as well as not be failing any other classes.
Okay, so it's a 90 minimum in the art classes and a GPA of at least 80 and be in good academic standing overall.
Absolutely, and that 90 has to be in an advanced art class, so students who are just starting off in their overall studio art class are not eligible.
Okay, so mostly then the students would be juniors and seniors in order to get in the advanced classes?
Sophomores, juniors, and seniors, absolutely.
Okay. So the students were then honored because I guess they were pretty excited. And can you talk about, before we talk about the program where they were honored, the different mediums that the students used, what they were learning? Was there, for instance, was there any photography? Was there ceramics? What kind of art were they doing?
All the above. We have 12 12 art offerings at Liberty High School.
Wow, that's great.
So the students can be involved in any of those media. It can be video production, it can be graphics, it can be photography, ceramics, drawing, and painting. So all of those, I would say at least four of them have experience in photo, at least four of them have taken graphics class, a number of them have taken ceramics or advanced studio.
Wow, and how many students were honored last week?
8 students were inducted, and it is our first induction at Liberty High School.
Oh, congratulate on that. So we hope that the program will continue.
Absolutely.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about the first annual Liberty High School National Art Society induction ceremony.
Well, we were very fortunate to have had an art walk earlier in the year where we went down along Main Street and met up with a lot of the local people who are involved in the arts, and of course, Green Door Gallery is one of our newest art venues in Liberty. So we met with Akira, and as we were talking and walking through his gallery and participating in his leaf collection that he had for the fall, we just, you know, ran it by him. Hey, this is a perfect size room for our induction in December. Would you be interested? And he jumped so quickly at the opportunity to be part of this. He's very community-oriented, but even more so, thinking about the youth and how to pull the youth into community art in general.
Well, that's wonderful that the students were actually able to go into a real museum and a real art place to be real artists. That's great.
Well, many of these students go down to the New York City trip that we do. We go to visit the Museum of Modern Art in the end of October. And, of course, the art walk, and we try to get them out as much as possible. It gives them a sense of being real artists, which is what we consider them in the high school, but until you get out in the world, it's really hard to tell.
Well, that's certainly terrific for their applications and their resumes as they get ready to apply to a college or job scene. To have that little feather, that's terrific.
Well, the National Art Honor Society is a big feather in their hat, especially since School of Visual Arts and several other schools offer immediate scholarship monies to the students if they've qualified for this program.
Right, and the students are lucky to live where they do because they're very close to the Cooper, as you said, the other visual arts schools. So they're pretty lucky. Are some of your students serious in pursuing a professional career?
There are several this year that are interested in continuing on in the arts. We have Gladys Diaz and Brittany Almodovil, Alyssa Piatek, and I know that Paula Doty is a junior and is considering the arts as well. Melissa Szymanski is applying right now for a scholarship to Ithaca, and Sierra Thomas, I just can't see her going any other way. So the majority of the students are deeply interested in the arts, but it's not a requirement.
Do you have it as a requirement for the diploma? Do they have to have an art credit that way? In other words, does every student have to have at least one credit for their, you know, their high school diploma?
You have to have, in New York State, 1 year of either music or art for your high school diploma. This wouldn't be something that would be applicable to any of those students, though, because it would have to be an advanced art class.
Advanced art class. Okay, good. Great. Okay, I think you mentioned all the students. I was looking at your posting on the internet, and I think, do you want to run through them again, or I have the list here, because it'd be great to mention all of them so that their name
will
be on.
Well, the two that we haven't mentioned yet are Katarina Manzi, and I believe she's trying to attend college to become a surgeon. And I hope if I ever need surgery that she's there for me. I've never seen anybody more intense. And then we have Joey Maltese, who I didn't mention yet, who is also an incredible artist and just a fun person to be around. He really juices up the whole organization, and he is the only guy right now.
Wow, so maybe he can get more of his friends out there. But I think it's interesting that you mentioned that she's one of your students wants to be a physician because sometimes art is a vocation, sometimes it becomes an art, an avocation, but a lot of people continue doing it and enjoying it just for themselves their whole life, so that's great that the students have the opportunity to take advanced classes and find out more about what medium they like the best.
Oh, absolutely. And there's so many. And if they never touch another piece of clay or pick up another paintbrush, they've still learned so many ways to look at things and to be able to pull different solutions to problems out of their minds instead of just what they've been fed.
Oh, I agree that the creative arts, they always help the students to problem solve and think and feel good when they make something.
But the National Art Honor Society is very big on community involvement, and that is our theme for this year, is taking art to the streets.
Oh, that's terrific. That's great. That's great. Okay, well, this is Midge Maroney. I've been speaking with Kathy Lambert, and she's telling us a little bit about the first annual Liberty High School National Art Society induction ceremony that was at the Green Door last week in Liberty. And congratulations to all those fabulously talented students and to you dedicated teachers. And Making Waves is just very proud of you, and keep on keeping on, and we would love to see more art out there in the streets.
And you can right now at the Green Door. Akira and Ellie have decided to keep the exhibit that the students put up for the induction up through the next exhibit, which starts in January. So the rest of the month, you can go see their work.
Okay, so, and the Green Door is right downtown Liberty. You can't miss it. So there's student art work there, and that's wonderful. Thank you so much. Thank you for helping the students there. Congratulations to them and to you.
Thank you.
And we'll go look at some nice artwork at the Green Door.
Great.
Okay. Thanks, Kathy.
Have a good night.
Good night. Bye-bye.
All right. We're going to go from a radio love song to a 15th century carol. You know, Christmas caroling, people go from door to door. And they sing songs. And they beg for food, because winter's hard. The streets are very dirty, my shoes are very thin. I have a little pocket to put a penny in. If you haven't got a penny, a halfpenny will do. And if you haven't got a halfpenny, God bless you. Soul, soul, soul cake. Please, good missus, some soul cake. An apple, a pear, a plum, a cherry. Any good thing to make us all merry. One for Peter, two for Paul, three for him who made us all. I've got two friends here who will be joining me in the chorus. This is Kevin Hanick and Elizabeth Rose. Hey ho, nobody home, meat nor drink, no money have I none, yet I will be merry. Hey ho, nobody home. Hey ho, nobody home, meat nor drink, no money have I none, yet I will be merry. Hey ho, nobody home. Go down into the cellar and see what you can find. The barrels are not empty. I hope you will be kind. I hope you will be kind with your apples and your jam. 'Cause we'll come no more a-soulin' till this time next year. Soul, soul, soul cake. Please, good missus, some soul cake. An apple, a pear, a plum, a cherry. Any good thing to make us all merry. One for Peter, two for Paul, three for him who made us all. Hey ho, nobody home. Meat nor drink nor money have I none. Hey ho, nobody home. Meat nor drink nor money have I none. Yet I will be merry. Hey ho, nobody home. Hey ho, nobody home. Meat nor drink nor money have I none. Hey ho, I'll be merry.
Yet I will be
nobody
merry.
Home. Hey ho, nobody home. Meat nor drink nor money have I none. Yet I will be merry.
Yet I will be merry.
Hey ho. Nobody home. God bless the master of this house, mistress also, and all the little children that round your table go. The cattle in your stable and the dog by your front door, and all that dwells within this house, I wish you 10 times more. Soul, soul, soul cake, please, good missus, some soul cake. An apple, a pear, a plum, a cherry, any good thing to make us all merry. One for Peter, two for Paul, three for him who made us all. Meat nor drink nor money have I none. Yet I will be merry.
Yet I will be merry.
Hey ho, nobody home. Meat nor drink nor money have I none. Yet I will be merry.
Yet I will be merry. Hey ho, nobody home.
Da da da. Meat nor drink nor money have I none. Yet I will be merry. Yet I will be merry.
Yet I will be merry. Oh, nobody home.
The streets are very dirty. My shoes.
And that was Kathy Geary and Kevin Hanick and Elizabeth Rose, and we recorded them last Saturday at the WJFF holiday party. So that was a 15th century carol, and we'll continue to try to bring you some excerpts from that wonderful holiday party. Right now on the line with me, I have Writers in the Mountain, and I am going going to speak to. Are you there, Jeff?
Yes, I'm here.
Jeff Rogers. Okay.
Jeff Rogers. Yes.
Thank you. All right. So tell us first a little bit about Writers in the Mountain. You've got an event coming up. There's a workshop series, but give us first a little bit of background. When the group started, perhaps where you're located. Tell us a little bit, if you would, Jeff.
Yes, Writers in the Mountains, or WIM, has been around about 20, 25 years. Located primarily in the Delaware County area, Margaretville, Roxbury, reaching out into, you know, Andes and Delhi, Walton, Pine Hill. And we give workshops and classes year-round. This one that I'm teaching or leading, I'm not really a teacher, is called Winter Journaling. And this is a continuation of a journaling class that has been going on for about 20 years. And has been taught by a woman by the name of Ev Ellsworth, who has now retired and suggested that I take over the class. So this is really my first foray into leading a class. But I'm game and I'm going ahead with it.
So the class works as a seminar workshop, and you will then be the facilitator?
I will be the facilitator. It's a really a very basic class. It's for novice and veteran journal keepers. And people will bring, class members will bring in something to that they've written. They'll read it aloud in class in front of the others. And everybody will give their constructive comments on it in a very nurturing and unthreatening atmosphere.
Well, the key words there are constructive comments and nurturing environment, because writers, especially in the developmental stages of a new piece, definitely need to have constructive comments.
Absolutely. It's you reveal yourself, and you need to have a environment that you feel safe to reveal yourself in.
Really important.
Any writing reveals yourself to some degree.
Can you tell us a little bit about how you would describe or distinguish journal writing as opposed to diary? I mean, they are both nonfiction and generally their first-person point of view, but what would you describe as the difference between journaling and, say, diary writing?
There's really not much difference. It's just semantics. And when we say winter journal, people come to this class historically with all kinds of whatever they're working on, and there's no strict hard and fast rules. It has to be a journal entry. Some people come and they work on a poem, or they're working on a story to relate to their grandchildren. But journaling and diary, pretty much the same, and we look for things that people could, a journal entry that could become something else. It could become a standalone piece. So it's a real, you know, looking around, seeing what you're doing, trying to grow as a writer. That's the main purpose of this class, to grow, to work at it, to become better.
Well, it's interesting to have a place, a forum to share your work, because writing by itself is isolated, or it's a solo activity. So you work on it and you're alone. And then there comes a time when if you can share it with others, you might get some insights. So maybe what you were trying to write maybe isn't as clear, or maybe sometimes you even go in a different direction than you had originally planned.
Yes, you do need to bounce what you have off other people. I've been taking this particular class for 5 years. I started writing 5 years ago. And other members of the class will comment on my work, little things like saying, like, you're changing your tense, you know, and I'll be shifting from past to present and not even realizing it. And bouncing it off other people gives you all kinds of little insights into how to become a better writer.
So sometimes you might get some technical suggestions or mechanical suggestions as well as perhaps the content?
Absolutely. All kinds of comments, but all done in a very encouraging environment. And that's the secret to this class, is longevity. Journaling has been around, as I said, very long, and that's the secret. Encourage each other and give everybody a nurturing place to grow as a writer.
Can you tell us a little bit about some of the different genres that people might bring in? I mean, there's fiction, nonfiction, but within even in nonfiction, there's memoir, there's sometimes...
People write poetry. Some people are working on, there was one lady a couple of years ago, was working on translations of German folk tales that her mother had taught her as a young girl.
Wow.
And so it's really wide open.
She's completely bilingual then in German, English, and she's working on translation?
She's working on translating the German into English and then was sharing them with us.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah, it's a lot of very varied people and a lot of regulars, and every year there's a lot of new people also.
All right, so let's talk about some of the details, when the group will start meeting and the times and location. And I think there's a nominal fee.
Yes. The fee is $75. It's a six-session class. It runs once a week. It's held Tuesdays, 10 a.m. to noon, starting on January 7th, 2014, and it's held at the Fairview Public Library in Margaretville, New York. And you can register online at writersinthemountains.org, all one word.
Okay.
Or you could also call Gene Stone at 607-326-4802.
Okay, so that's 607-362-4802. They can contact Gene Stone.
Yes.
Now, you said 10 o'clock in the morning. You meet on a Tuesday?
10 o'clock in the morning, 10 a.m. till noon.
All right, so that time factor, 10 o'clock in the morning, does that mean that the people that can participate either must be working different hours or retired or perhaps even unemployed at the time, or maybe they are self-employed and can make their own schedule?
Yes. There are quite a few people that can find the time for this one day a week. And let me just make sure you gave that phone number right, because I think...
I have written 607-326-4802.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
Yeah, and I just wanted one more thing I can mention. The motto of Writers in the Mountains is Dare to Write.
Dare to Write.
Dare to Write.
Good.
It takes a lot of courage and chutzpah to get up in front of people and read what you've done.
Oh, I'm sure it does. I'm sure it does.
And so I applaud everybody that comes and does that.
And you're also a radio host, so could you tell us a little bit about that now, besides this workshop?
Yeah, I am a host of a program entitled The Writer's Voice, heard on WIOX Radio in Roxbury, New York. It's at 91.3 FM.
Okay.
And online at www.wioxradio.org. And my show is on The Writer's Voices every Tuesday at 1 p.m.
Okay. And what kind of discussions might you have on, do people call in? Do you just...
Well, as of right now, there are four different hosts. A different one every week. I am the first Tuesday of the month, and I usually have local writers on, interview them, and they read an excerpt of their work.
So it might be, could be an excerpt of a novel, a short story, a poem, a play, anything?
Anything at all. No, no limits, anything that they're working on. And I get people from all over, all different kinds of stories and books. And very interesting.
Okay, so again, the workshop will begin on January 7th and run to the 14th. So,
that's correct.
Do you have a continuous cycle of these workshops?
Yes. If you go on to writersinthemountains.org, the 2014 schedule is up. The next class after winter journaling is a creative nonfiction with Anique Taylor. And that's going to be held in Pine Hill at the Pine Hill Community Center, which is actually a little closer to your listening area than Roxbury.
Okay, so where is Pine Hill exactly? Could you be more specific?
Yeah, Pine Hill is on Route 28 in Ulster County. It's 35 miles west of Kingston, New York, on Route 28.
Okay, so it's up closer to the Kingston area.
Well, it's 35 miles west of Kingston. It's
all right.
Near Bel Air Ski Center.
Okay, all right, just for, because we reach the Upper Delaware region as well as the Catskill area here, so just to let people, give people an idea.
Yeah, it's over the mountains from Jeffersonville, over Slide Mountain and down into Olivaria.
Okay, so let's review your contact information. Can people contact you directly, Jeff?
Sure they can. They can contact me at Pine Hill, give you the email address, pinehilljeff, it's G-E-O-F-F, at gmail.com.
Okay. And again, the contact number for the website is Writers in the Mountain.
Writers in the Mountains.
Writers in the Mountains. .org. Mountains plural.
Right. Or they can call Gene Stone at 607-326-4802.
And they can be
online and look at the classes. There's a lot of wonderful classes happening this year.
Okay, so writers of all levels are welcomed, whether they are novices, whether they are experienced, published, unpublished.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Jeff. This has been wonderful talking to you. This is Midge Maroney. I've been interviewing Jeff Rogers, who will be having an upcoming workshop, and he is with writersinthemountains.org. So thanks very much for your time, Jeff.
Midge, thank you very much for having me on.
Right, happy writing.
Have a lovely holiday.
You too, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Jack Frost nipping at your nose. Yuletide carols being sung by a choir. And folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows. Some holly and some mistletoe, the vegetarian version, will help to make the season bright. Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow will find it hard to sleep tonight. They know that Santa's on his way, bringing lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh. And every mother's child is sure to spy to see if reindeer really know how to fly. And so I'm offering this simple phrase to kids from 1 to 102. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
And that was Elizabeth Rose, who also performed at the WJFF holiday party. And next we're going to give you a Christmas preview of Radio Revolution that will be broadcast 9 o'clock Wednesday night.
Hi, I'm Leif Johansson, member of the Youth Radio Project here on WJFF, and one of the makers of this year's holiday Xmas extravaganza, Noisy Night, an evening of crazy carols and more. If you're wondering what sorts of ridiculous things happen in this year's play, I'm here to share some insight. Outside of lots of singing, we'll hear from the Tooth Fairy, Figgy Pudding Zombies, really bad online translations of your favorite holiday tunes, and Morgan Freeman, among other people. I was able to hack into the secret YRP drives that contain the precious scenes for this year's play, and I have attained a clip from a scene. Let's drop in on a fellow Youth Radio Project member, Damon, to get the scoop on what's happening here. Take it, Damon.
So, is it my turn to sing a carol?
Wait, we're supposed to let you sing? Like on air?
I don't think our insurance is prepared for whatever you're planning, Damon. Can we risk it?
I don't know. Don't you remember the last time we gave Damon control?
I did absolutely nothing during that hour.
Exactly.
Just because you didn't like my silent cinema tribute...
What would you even sing?
You better watch out, you better not fly, better not plot, 'cause Santa's a spy. Santa Claus is really a spy.
Wait, hold up there. Santa's not a spy.
Sure he is. He sees you when you're sleeping, kinda like the NSA.
How is Santa like the NSA?
Oh, they have a history together.
He is correct. After President Nixon passed the Grandma Security Act of 1969, Santa has had many run-ins with the United States government.
Thanks, Cal. I'll take it from here.
But I researched that all night.
This is the tale of their darkest dealing. It begins with a report from Santa's right-hand man, Big Dwarf.
Mr. Claus, I have a huge report for you today.
Thanks, Big Dwarf. What should I do with it?
You should read it, sir.
Oh, how do I do that?
Never mind, Mr. Claus. I'll just tell you. A U.S. presidential candidate has just ran an attack ad against you.
What?
I know. It's hard to believe someone would dislike you, but...
No, not that. They've started the 2016 election? Already?
Anyway, here's the ad. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. Santa Claus not only bails out Toys R Us annually... He's blatantly threatened you.
I know when you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. So be good for goodness sake.
Some would call this treason, and most of them are us. Yet the do-nothing incumbents on Capitol Hill still support this trespassing stalker. But you can say no to Santa's socialist gift-giving and Orwellian tactics. Waves of amber grain. Americans heading to work in the morning. Our nation's flag. A smiling, attractive, yet non-threatening family. Last Jacket wants all of these to burn in hell. Wait, what? Hold on, sorry, wrong script. Please get me the right script. Thank you. Last Jacket wants to protect these things while Santa burns in hell. So 3 Novembers from now, vote for the highly relatable millionaire news anchor, Lance Jacket.
I'm Lance Jacket, and I approve this message.
Lance Jacket? What did I ever do to him? I'm not even running for anything.
No, but most polls say you're highly defeatable.
Oh, stupid polls. Who believes them anyway?
Mr. Claus, I believe we can turn the tables on Lance Jacket. I've looked into our records, and it seems he's not just a millionaire news anchor, he's in deep with the NSA. And you know what that means.
Not really, but I'm going to guess cookies, so I don't sound clueless.
It'd be best if you didn't, sir.
Oh. Well, can I at least have some cookies?
Yes. Yes, you can. Anyway, this all means Lance Jacket is linked to an unpopular warrantless surveillance scandal. It also means Lance Jacket is a spy.
Lance Jacket is a spy?
He helped the government spy on the American people, and the European people, and the corporate people. Everyone, pretty much. And they all agree this tramples a clause in the Constitution that says...
Which clause have they trampled? My mom? My dad? My sister?
No, it's a
thing
that...
This means war. Gather the elves, Big Dwarf.
Very well, Mr. Claus.
There's no need for that.
Who are you?
I'm Sherlock Gnome, dwarf detective, knee-high private eye.
Sherlock Gnome, your giant specter dwarfs me. You look like your head is above the grass.
You are a dwarf, big dwarf, and a waste of space, too. Practically larger than a penny. Get out, you freakishly tall beast.
Ah, leaving.
That's better. I hear you have a problem, Santa.
How did you find out, Sherlock Gnome?
I heard everything. We've tapped your phone.
But I called nobody.
Nobody works for us now. I have a confession to make. I am a spy.
Sherlock Gnome is a spy?
Yes. I work for the NSA. I used to work for NASA, but budget cuts made us shorten the acronym. I kill people now. I have an offer for you.
You're the one who killed my mother? Or sister? Or somebody?
Sadly, no. I regret to inform you that your sister is still alive.
Oh, okay. I won't go to war then.
No, this is much bigger than bump-em-off politics. Lance Jacket is just the beginning. This is really about all the information in the world.
All the information in the world?
Yes. The NSA may have the ability to track phone calls, follow everything a user does on the internet, directly access the servers of Google, Apple, and Facebook, follow international transactions, and find out what cafeterias around the world are serving for lunch.
Ooh, what's for lunch?
PB&J, mostly.
Oh.
Yes, we're able to keep track of all that, but not everything. There's one spying network that's bigger than our own. One spy who's bigger than all the rest.
Who?
You, Santa Claus.
And you just heard a clip from Santa's a Spy, a scene in this year's Xmas Extravaganza, Noisy Night, an evening of crazy carols and more. It's quite the cliffhanger there, so I hope you listen this Wednesday night, Christmas night, at 9 o'clock during the regular Radio Revolution hours for the entirety of this play. It's going to be really great. We've worked very hard on it, and we hope that you can listen. I'm Leif Johansson for Making Waves.
So in the background, that is Doug Rogers and the Hoi Polloi Group, and they performed at the WJFF party. The excerpt you heard was from Radio Revolution. The rest of it will be on Wednesday night. So this is WJFF 90.5, and we thank you for listening to Making Waves. I'm your host, Midge Maroney. Our engineer tonight is Dan Desmond. Kevin Grepp is our executive producer. And we want to wish you all a Merry Christmas. And we will continue playing a bit of Doug Rogers and the Hoi Polloi as we go out tonight on Making Waves. Thanks for listening.
Well, Mr. Dog was born in a barn, from the hog lot to the farm, from the barn and to the rail. He made his living by carrying the mail.
You're listening to WJFF 90.5 FM, Jeffersonville, New York, or W233AH 94.5 FM, Monticello, New York, and streaming live online at wjffradio.org. Temperature outside our studios right now is 40 degrees, and the weather for the rest of tonight is going to be mostly cloudy with lows around 22 degrees. Northwest winds 9 to 13 miles per hour. Then Tuesday, scattered flurries between noon and 2 p.m., then a chance of snow showers after 2 p.m., increasing clouds with highs near 27 degrees. Northwest winds around 10 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation tomorrow is 50%. New snow accumulation of less than 1 inch is possible. Now stay tuned for Two Guys Talking Sports.
Support for this program comes from our listeners and from Main Street Farm Market and Cafe in Livingston Manor, serving fresh house-made soups and sandwiches prepared with food from our local farmers and artisans.